This is Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine, and I'm Danny D. with the Assistant Professor of Medicine and Director of Inflammatory Bowel Disease Fellowship Program at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Bellaguarda, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here today, Danny. It's a big pleasure to talk to you guys.
It's my pleasure, Doctor. Now, let's jump right in. Experts estimate that 1.6 million people in the U.S. have IBD. What is IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease?
It is quite striking, indeed, the number of patients that we have been diagnosing with inflammatory bowel disease in the U.S. and all over the world, actually. The numbers continue to rise. So inflammatory bowel disease stands for two diseases, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. They are diseases that affect the large intestine and or the small bowel with Crohn's disease, and we can go over more in details what they mean, but we don't exactly know what causes Crohn's disease, but or ulcerative colitis. We think they come from a change in the bacteria that lives in the gut, what we call the microbiome. And then this change in the gut bacteria triggers an overactive immune system, and the immune system causes the inflammation in the gut. And the inflammation is kind of canker sores that you have in your mouth, but instead of in your mouth, it's in your gut.
And Dr. Bellaguarda, are there risk factors?
So we think that this disease can present in genetically predisposed patients. We have identified over 160 genes that can predispose this change in the gut bacteria. But having the genes itself by itself is not enough to trigger the disease. We think it's a multifactorial type of predisposition that includes some environmental factors as well, such as kids who have been raised in an extremely clean environment, actually, that's not that great for the immune system, or kids who have the need to have a lot of antibiotics, or patients who use a lot of NSAIDs, such as ibuprofen, Aleve, Advil, naproxen, aspirin. Patients who smoke, that can change also the bacteria that lives in the gut. Stress can also change the bacteria that lives in the gut. And drastic changes in your diet. You know, diet, the American diet, not ideal. So high fat, processed foods, greasy foods, all these environmental factors can change the bacteria that lives in the gut. And then on these genetically predisposed patients, this can make the switch in the immune system. The immune system can start developing this inflammation, this canker sores in the gut.
Thank you so much for this information today, Dr. Bellaguarda. We're learning so much. And I'm Danny D with Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine. Can you tell me what the common symptoms are? Let's start with ulcerative colitis.
The patients present with sometimes abdominal pain, diarrhea, loose stools, urgency that you can't wait 15 minutes to get to the bathroom, blood in the stools, the constant need to go to the bathroom, the bowel movements wake you up at night. While on the other hand, Crohn's disease can affect the large intestine and or the small bowel. So about 70% of the patients with Crohn's disease present with inflammation limited to the end of the small bowel, what we call the terminal ileum. So the presentation of Crohn's disease can be very different from ulcerative colitis. And some patients, it is a wide range of presentation. Sometimes patients present with abdominal pain or sometimes even with constipation, but patients can also report diarrhea and blood in the stools.
And how is IBD managed or treated?
So the IBD is managed with a variety of different medications. So we divide the treatment of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease in two steps. One is to get the patients well. We need to induce remission. And remission we define as form stools, no blood, no urgency, not waking up at night to go to the bathroom, and no abdominal pain. And once we get patients in remission, our job is to keep them well. I told you that we don't know exactly what causes this condition. So it is a chronic condition. Like high blood pressure, diabetes, right? We don't know what it causes high blood pressure. We don't know what it causes diabetes, but we know how to treat it. And similar to high blood pressure, diabetes, patients do need to continue on a medication to keep the symptoms under control, because if they stop the medication, the symptoms come back. So we do have a variety of different medications to keep patients well. They vary from pills, injections, or infusions, but it will really depend in terms of where the inflammation is, how severe the inflammation is, and what is important for these patients. Some patients don't want to take injections. They prefer to do an infusion, and some patients are eligible to take some pills. So it is a complex discussion and informative discussion that we have with our patients in our clinic at Northwestern Medicine in our IBD center, and we choose the medication together. It's very important for us to hear the feedback from our patients because we do want to find something that is feasible for their lives and that this regimen will not affect their quality of life.
Dr. Bellaguada, I've learned so much. Thank you for the information today.
Thank you, Dani. Thank you very much.
This was Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine. To learn more, go to nm.org.